For your journey in life, you need direction from the master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi-Adams.
We thank you for your help. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for your kindness. We give you all the praise. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Yes, take us to 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. We're looking at a very interesting topic this evening. Praise the Lord in this midweek service. And the topic is God's plan versus man's plan. God's plan versus man's plan. Hallelujah. God has a plan. Man has a plan. So we'll be looking at the both today and be comparing them. And then I believe that God will bless us. And I believe God is speaking to us this evening. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. And this was a long story. Hallelujah. It is when the Israelites fell and then they were trying to come back and then they were living a life. See? Praise the Lord. Then God is trying to have something better for them. He has something more better than their plans they have for themselves. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. They are what? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And then the aim is to give you an expected end, an end that is expected. And then when you look through the scripture, you see that is the end. I live from TLB Bible. For I know the plans, TLB, the Living Bible. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. I have a plan for you. They are plans for good and not for evil. The plans are targeted to give us a future, hallelujah, and of hope. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I'm reading for the Message translation. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, the Message says, okay, is it, join me with verse 10. This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon 70 years are up and not a day before, I will show you up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you and not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, a plan is a set of intended actions, usually mutually related, through which one expects to achieve goals. I'll come again. A plan is a set of intended actions. Intended, that means you want to do something. You intend planning actions. Usually the actions are mutually related, through which one expects to achieve a goal. I want to become a medical doctor. I plan to attend primary school. I plan to attend secondary school. I plan to attend the university. I plan to go housemanship. I plan to serve. I plan to practice medicine. Hallelujah. Now, all of these plans are independent, but they are mutually related. The secondary school is related to the primary school. The primary school related to the nursery. The secondary school related to your tertiary institution. Hallelujah. So, a plan is a set of intended actions, but then the actions are mutually related. They are not independent. They are not disconnected. Praise God. So, when you have a plan, you have a set of actions that... This is what I'm going to do. When I do this one, I'll do this one, I'll do this one, I'll do this one. And then I have an ultimate goal to achieve something. Hallelujah. Now, another definition of a plan is a premeditated design. A premeditated, you calculate it. It is a premeditated design. Praise the Lord. a premeditated, you have it in your mind well thought out. You have it in your calculations. You have premeditated it. Now, every one of us listening to me this evening or listening to this word of God, I believe all of us have plans that we have premeditated in our lives. What do you want to become in your 40s? What do you want to become in your 50s? What do you want to do with your life? You have your life all planned out in your mind. Hallelujah. That is why even as much, what do you want? I want to become a doctor. I want to become a lawyer. I want to become an accountant. Because in their mind, they have premeditated their future. They have images of what they hope to become. They have thought about certain things. Hallelujah. So everyone has a plan and then they are premeditated. You have thought about it. Now I want to give you five general overviews of the plan of man. Five generally. When you pick any man, his thought will not be more than these five. The plans he has for his life will surround around these five plans. Hallelujah. The first is that every human being have a plan of living a healthy life. When you ask a human being, what is your plan for health? I want to live healthy. I want my body to be sound. I want to have a strong body. Hallelujah. I want to live a healthy life. I don't want to ever fall sick till I die. Every prayer point, most prayer point is, Lord, I want to be healthy. So every normal plans to live healthy, especially anyone that have tested sickness, will have health in their plan. They will eat because of their health. They will do things because of their health. Hallelujah. Even people that smoke and people that drink or people that abuse drugs ultimately have the plan to live healthy, but because of the supernatural influences on them, choice. But even as they are taking that plan, you see that they want to be healthy. So every human being have the plan of a healthy life. They want to be able to see in their old age. They want to carry their body in their old age. They want sound in their mind, not to experience that sickness that causes people to lose their mind. So everybody naturally has a plan to live healthy. Number two, every human being has a plan to live in a good environment and have a good house. Hallelujah. To live in a good environment. I have a text that just says something that blew my mind. Luke chapter 16 verse 9. One has to live in a good environment. In a good environment. Healthy place and live a good life. Hallelujah. Now in Luke chapter 16 verse 19. In Luke 16, the story of the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. But verse 19 says something that caught my attention. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple. Hallelujah. Now, purple is a royal color. Normally in the Bible, when you see the color purple, you speak of royalty, speak of wealth, speak of fine linen. And then the Bible says he feared sumptuously every day. Hallelujah. Every one of us want to, in every area, they have a way of classing the poor and the rich. They have a way of classing the poor and the rich. Hallelujah. Watch the documentary sometime 2 years back of a man that went to 10 cities and then went to the rich area of those cities and then went to the poor areas of those cities. Discovered that most times, right in between the window of the richest hotel, as you look across, you can see the poor neighborhood. Most times, it's usually a wall. The demarcation is low. There is not much demarcation. But then they intentionally raise the bar high so that if you want to live in this area, you are rich. Hallelujah. The same land you can buy in the Gators for 200,000 naira, you get it for 20 million in an area just because intentionally they raise the bar so that people living here will be the wealthy. Hallelujah. The guy did something in the comment in the video. What he did was he went to a barbing saloon of the wealthy area and then he barbed half of his head. And then the charge was like $500 or something like that. And then he went to a poor area. He bought me the remaining half. And then the child was like $5 or $2, something like that. Very, very insignificant amount. And all of them did the same thing. The point he wanted to prove was there is always a classification between the rich and the poor. Hallelujah. People will always have a way of demarcating rich people. When you're in this area, even in normal hotels, you discover that in classy hotels, a bottle of pure water that you can buy outside 100 naira, they will sell it for 1,000 naira. I've been to places where a bottle of water was 1,000. The same one that right at the gate, you buy 100 naira. Hallelujah. But the point they are trying to make is that this place is for a class of people. Unless you're in that class, don't come here. That's the point they are trying to make. Hallelujah. So, every one of us always have a dream of living in those big places of life.
We have a dream of living in the world class. We want to live in the government reserve areas. We want to live in areas where the light is always constant, where the security is clean, where the environment is serene. And then we eat sumptuously. We eat well. Hallelujah. You eat the balanced diet in the you eat in the morning, in the afternoon, and the night. The dream of a man revolves around this kind of lifestyle, where everything you have is at your beck and call. Hallelujah. You don't have to pray for them. They are available. Every the Bible says, he fed sumptuously every day. Hallelujah. Number three, when you look at the plans of man, is to have the safest means of movement, of transport, or transport, most comfortable means of transport. The safest means of transport, or the most comfortable. Hallelujah. In Acts 25 and verse 23, there was a movement that was described there, and it was the best. The Bible says, with the pomp. Acts 25 was a kingly movement, and then I like the way it was described. Acts 25:23. The Bible says, and on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, hallelujah, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then when you read the book of Isaiah also, the Bible describes Isaiah chapter 2 verse 7 of horses and chariots. Now if I ask every one of you, what kind of car do you want to ride? Most of all, I know you should have a car you want to ride. Hallelujah. And it wouldn't be a normal car. You want a safe car where you will not feel the pressure of the rough terrains, where you will not feel the discomfort of the environment, where you can control your environment in the car. You can determine your temperature. You want a car where you can get the water, where you can play music at your sound, where the chairs are leather, hallelujah. All manner of comfort. We want to have the best car, safest means of transport. Hallelujah. Nowadays, I was with a particular man last year, and he was telling me that he doesn't even want, now, before people used to think, now, airplane was the safest means of transport. But the man was afraid of traveling in the airplane. He said that nowadays, people are dying in aircraft, so it's no longer safe for him. I met somebody that doesn't travel, Pastor David B.M. was sharing in 5 minutes of glory of a woman he knows that don't want to travel by aeroplane because of the plane crash. She can travel any distance by because survival of a plane crash is low. Praise God. So many people prefer the safest means of transport. I discovered that there's now another means of transport. We call it the Hyperloop that's been developed by Elon Musk. Hallelujah. So people want the safest means of transport. And then people want to succeed in their career. People want to be the best in their field. People want, when their names are mentioned or when their names are called, everybody can, the names ring a bell. Hallelujah. I remember one of our lecturers coming to Brock in our department, he said, Google my name on the internet. And then when it comes to simulation in the whole world, my name is on the top. And it was true. I left that lecture hall and then I Googled his name. On a particular topic, all the names were his names. First 20 searches, everything was his name. Yes. That was the lecturer that was giving us fire. Hallelujah. It was so good that his name was the, I'm talking about worldwide. No, when you Google something online, they bring out the best. His name was because he went abroad, did a great work. It was published. The whole world accepted it. So people want to succeed like that in career. When they mention your name in the movie industry, people want to be the best. People want to be the best recording label. People want to be the best artist in business. People want to be the best in the Forbes list. They want to be the best richest person in Africa. They want to be the best in the Forbes. They want to be in the best in every recommendation, every award, the Stellar Award, the Grammys, the President Award. Everybody want to be the best in their career. People want to make history. People want to write articles that for years they'll be reading them and be making referrals. People want to lecture in a way that people will remember them for ages. Hallelujah. People want to write and be remembered like the way Socrates and who again? Aristotle and who again of his time? There are five of them. People want to be remembered like them. Hallelujah. So we want to do things. We want to excel in our careers. I want to be a preacher that when I preach, that people remember me for ages. We remember the preaching of Jonathan Edward. His famous sermon was angry God. No, sinners in the hand of an angry God. That was a sermon he preached that was known for. And then people have preached that sermon. Hallelujah. So we want to succeed naturally in our career. Study the plan of... Hallelujah. And then finally, human beings have the plan to have good relationships. Good relationships. And then because of that, in 1 Kings 11 verse 3, Bible told us the kind of relationship that's... Hallelujah. The Bible says he married 300 princesses and 700 daughters of rich men. What the relationship? Hallelujah. The Bible says, and he had 700 wives. All of them were princesses. That means daughters of kings. And 300 concubines. And his wife turned away his heart. Hallelujah. What a desire for relationship. When he noticed what David did, David had a problem of lust. So he said, any woman I see, I will marry. Is that not true? We want to have relation. We want to have people we can trust. We want to have people in our life that we can always run to for help. Hallelujah. So that is the aim of many people, have the aim of impacting other people to help them to open. I want to remember, I want to make an invention that people remember me for. I want to create a drug that can save the world of coronavirus. Hallelujah. I want to make an invention that will deliver people of malaria. I want to save the people in Haiti. I want to do this. I want to invent this. I want to do this. That is the highest that human beings have in plan. Hallelujah. That is the plans we have. I want to help humanity. I want to produce what will help human. I want to make it easy for women to give birth. I want to make it easy for people to move. I want to make this easy for this. I want to make it easy for... So that is the plan of men. Hallelujah. It revolves around these five or six things that I've mentioned. It cannot be more than that. Healthy life, food, success in career, relationship, impact my world, and then be a blessing to many people. Hallelujah. But I want to give you the overview of God's plan for man. And when you will discover that all of God's man's plan for himself can just be summarized as one plan of God for mankind. I want to give you, and now when I come to the plans of God, I will give you scriptures that says this is what God wants to do. The first plan that God has for man is that man will never, ever be attacked by any disease or sickness. It is different for a man to want to be healthy, but God's plan for man is that we will never be. We will never be attacked by sicknesses. Exodus chapter 15 verse 26. Hallelujah. Exodus 15:26.
Exodus 15:26.
Sorry.
The voice of the Lord thy God.
Yes.
And we do that which is right in his sight.
If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, and we will do what is right in his sight. Yes.
And we give ear to his commandments.
I will give heed to his commandments.
And keep all his statutes.
And keep all his statutes.
I will put none of these diseases upon thee.
You will put none of these disease upon us.
Which I have brought upon the Egyptians.
Yes.
For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
For he is the one that healeth us. Now, Exodus 23 verse 25, the Bible says, you will serve the Lord your God and he will bless your bread and water. Then he said, he will take away sickness from our midst. Then he said, the number of days we will fulfill. So God had a more interior plan for us. It was never God's plan for mercy to ever be discovered until man fell. God planned that we live in the Garden of Eden perfectly in health. God Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, shed his blood for our healings. So every plan you have for hell, God had it in a more refined way for us. Praise the Lord. This plan that God has for us is for us to be preserved from all kinds of evil. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 and then Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10. To be preserved from all kinds of evil. All, not some. All kinds of evil. Any evil you can mention, evil of harassment, evil of sicknesses, evil of oppressions,
God's plan that he delivers us from all of them. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. The Bible clearly says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God planned that he keeps us in perfect peace. No evil ever beholds us and ever succeeds. Proverbs 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it and is safe. Hallelujah. So God plans to preserve us from all kinds of evil. It is possible to be in perfect peace, and it's only found in God. Number three, God always planned to give us the gifts of men. Hallelujah. You can never choose the right people with your common sense. You have to trust God to lead people to your life. 2 Samuel chapter 23 from verse 8 to 15 spoke of a particular category of people that God himself brought to David. Hallelujah. And then the same thing in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 33 and verse 38. People that could keep their rank. And verse 38, they came to make David king. They came to follow him. Men are deceptive. Men are selfish. Hallelujah. And men are wicked. The Bible says the heart of a man is what? Desperately wicked. That's what? Proverbs, is it Jeremiah 29 verse what? Jeremiah 29. So, is that what it says? Jeremiah 29. I believe it's Jeremiah 29, no? Jeremiah 29. The heart of a man is wicked and deceptive, desperately wicked. Is it Jeremiah 29? Is it Jeremiah 17:9? Okay, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and not just wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hallelujah. You can never know men. You can never predict men. You can never know what a man can do to you. But there are truly people that God can give to you that will be to you for life. Hallelujah. You can never know the person you married unless God helped you to marry rightly. You can never know what the person is seeing in you that made the person want to marry you. Hallelujah. You can never know who is around. You can never know why people want to be employed by you, why they want to be around. You can never know why people want to follow you, why people are following you. You will never know. Hallelujah. Job does say you may never know limited. You may never know people. But God can give you true. God can give you true spouses. God can give you true followers. God can give you true leaders. That is why I say I will give you pastors after my own heart. Hallelujah. God can give you true people. All your dream of having the right people around you can only be accomplished in God. Number four plan that God has for you is for God has a plan to make you the best in your field. Right on this earth. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, in the long list of the promises, he said, we shall be what? The head and never the tail. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 19 to 20, Daniel was the best in his days. The Bible says he was what? 10 times better than his colleagues. In Genesis chapter 41 verse 39, the Bible says there was nobody that was like Joseph. Praise God. In Acts chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible says, when they disputed with Stephen, they could not reply his wisdom because he was so wise that they could not stand his argument. Esther was the most beautiful, not necessarily the most beautiful, but she was the most preferred and the most favorable. Hallelujah. Your dream to become your best in everything you can do. God already has his factor. It is not a new dream that God knows that men always dream to be the best. You being a believer will not reduce you from being the best. Choosing to
God will not reduce your reality of your dream coming to pass. Hallelujah. Giving yourself to the service of God will always materialize your dream to become the best. The fifth plan God has for you is for you to gravitate to a place where you have all the inheritance He planned for you on the earth. God has a lot of things factored for you. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15. 1 Corinthians 3:22. God has a plan of directing you into inheriting all the things He has planned for you. Hallelujah. God has a plan of gifting you with His presence. His manifest presence. He will never leave you, to give you always the backing of God. Hallelujah. God has a plan to give you the greatest asset. And then God always has a plan to give you eternity and a glorious heaven with Him. So the plans of God are for good and not for evil. Now I want you to note three things before I share with you how to align with God's plan, and then we go. Hallelujah. Man's best plan is always less than the worst of God's plan for him. The best plan you can think for yourself, the best calculation of your life, is always worse than what God will give you if you follow Him. In Psalm 39 verse 5, the Bible says, a man at his best is altogether what? Vanity. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, Solomon was a man that followed everything. He had everything he ever wanted. But then at the end of having those things, he said, vanity is upon vanity. He said what? All things are vanity. The best of your plan cannot be compared to the worst that God will give you. Hallelujah. I know, do you know that, do you believe in me that 10% of 1 million is better than 100% of 10 million? Is it true? As a matter of fact, 2% of 100 billion is better than 100% of 100 million. Yes. So your desire to own and do something, the best of it, is cannot be compared to the worst that God has to offer you. If you can only sacrifice your plan and take the plan of God for your life. Number two, only God can plan and make it happen. Only God can what? Plan. Psalms 127 verse 1. The Bible says, unless the Lord keep the city, no amount of security can protect the city. Hallelujah. Unless the Lord build the house, no amount of security can keep. Unless the Lord keep the city, no amount of security can keep the city. The Bible speaking in Proverbs 21 verse 31. Says the horse is prepared for battle, but safety is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 37 verse 5. Only God can make a plan and make it happen. When you hear of accident of people that had accident and died, they had plans. Some of them were on a journey to execute a contract. He said, commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Many people are saying, I'll come and I'll meet you exactly by 11. 2-3 days ago, I was reading a story of a man that was kidnapped on his very, very important meeting to the governor. Say he was going to give his annual report as usual to return. And then he was hijacked. So everyone that ever died in a car accident had plans. I read one day I was in the complex when I heard of the news of the death of the legendary Miles Monroe. Hallelujah. He was traveling to go out and hold his annual conference. All the people have arrived. Everybody was waiting for him. Himself, his wife, and where the people on the plane. We are traveling to go and have a usual, extra, impactful conference. All his notes were set. Everything was ready. Advertised. Everybody has arrived. And then the plane crashed. Hallelujah. So, only God can plan and make it happen. All your plans will never happen if God does not help you. If God does not, all those dreams will never materialize. And finally, the third thing I want to say is that God knows the future and the best way into the future. Isaiah 46 verse 10. God knows the future and the best way into the future. The things you are planning to do may not be the future. Hallelujah. Bible says God declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. The first thing I say that God, man's best is always less than the best of God or the words of God. Only God can plan and it happen. And then number three, I say God knows the future and the best route to the future. Now, I met somebody that was into a handwork. He was into the electrical or electrician work. And then he faced a difficult decision to go to school. And then when he decided to go to school, he was not making money as he was then. But now he has graduated and then he lost all his customers. And then I asked him, do you have a regret when you sacrificed that pursuit for school? He said he doesn't have a single regret. I said, why? He said, all his men that were making money then that refused to go to school, all of them are behind him. His academies have given me all the things they have pursued for all those years while he was in school. I'm broke. Now, your dream may be to be a professional tiler, or your dream was maybe to discover a particular drug. Your dream may be to invent a particular machine. God knows whether that thing will be relevant in the future or not. Your dream may be to be able to produce a particular thing, anything that you have. God knows whether it will be relevant in the future or not. Things are metamorphosing quickly. If you learn tiling, nowadays people no longer tile. We just interlock and then the house is cleaned. If you learn ceiling work and that is all you do, POP, nowadays things have changed. We have fitted ceilings. If that is all you have planned, you live your life for, God knows the future. God knows the changing future. But when you follow God, he will keep you perpetually relevant. He will make you to do things that will persistently be useful till your death. You are useful. Hallelujah. Your plan, God knows what will be relevant in 2025. If all you are after to do is to pursue an article and then publish an article, God knows whether that article will be used. Now, nowadays, of course, during my project, they will say that your references may not be more than 5 or 7 years backward. Remember, imagine the people that killed themselves 100 years ago to do a research and a product. That was all they lived their life for. I read of Maria Curie and Pierre Curie, the people that discover ruthenium, and then what is it? They discover two nuclear atoms. They died in the lab because of the radiation. They didn't know how to manage the radiation. Maria and Pierre Curie. The husband died first before the wife. All of them died because of the radiations that were emitting from that substance. That was all they lived for. Do you know the name? You see, some people don't even know the name. Unless you're even a science student and then you read along chemistry, you will never know. That was all they lived for. Hallelujah. So God knows whether what you are pursuing will be useful in the future or not. It may not be you or your dream. You may achieve it, yes. It may come to pass, yeah, but it might not be useful. Hallelujah. So what do you do to align to God's plan? Because your plan is futile. Your dreams are good. We teach on dreaming and the plan. But the plan of God for your life is ultimate. Your plan is limited to the earth, but the plan of God will take you to eternity. Hallelujah. You will be relevant into eternity. When all you live for is to invent a gadget, everybody that does and go to heaven, the gadget will not be useful. Is that not true? Yes, it will not be useful. But when you follow the plan of God and then his purpose was for you to invent a gadget, when you go to heaven, he will reward you for making humanity better. Hallelujah. Now, the way to align to God's plan primarily is to relinquish your ambition and take the purposes of God for your life. Relinquish, let go of your ambition. There was something that made you to develop an ambition. You saw a particular need. You had an experience in your life. You had something that made you to develop an ambition. You saw something. And then you develop an ambition along an area. And then you plan your life all along it. Hallelujah. I had an ambition to become a petroleum engineer. I wanted to become a good chemistry personality. Why? Because I saw petroleum as a source of money, and I saw being wealthy as a source. So I had an ambition around it. I wanted to study. I studied the Ababio back to back. Hallelujah. Those tell me all those questions. I read those things as if I was so tomorrow, because I wanted it. Until my 300 level, I was pursuing that dream. But when I got the call to God's purposes for my life, I let go my ambition. Hallelujah. I let it go. When Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 verse 6 had an encounter with God, he asked God, what do you want me to do? He had an ambition to become a good, renowned Pharisee. He was educated and smart. He was smart. He was trained by the best. Nowadays, we say he was trained by Harvard or Oxford or Yale. Hallelujah. Or Princeton. Hallelujah. But he let it go. He relinquished his ambition to follow God. In Matthew chapter 26 verse 39, the Bible says, Jesus Christ saw the pain of the sacrifice he was supposed to make. And then he let it go and took up the purposes of God for his life. Jonah in Jonah chapter 4 verse 2 also had an ambition, but he let it go. What is the ambition that you have for your life? What are the things that you crested in your mind that I want to do this because of this? I want to do this. These are your plan. And all you live for every day is to achieve that ambition. All you live for, you don't even care what God's plan for you. Everything that you have heard about God's plan for your life is by the way. You want to achieve that ambition. I want to do this. You want to satisfy your ego. Hallelujah. I was the one that did this. I was the one because of this. I vowed I would do this and I did it. I said I would do this. All you are after every day is an ambition. You will be shocked that on your dying bed, your ambition will not be useful. God will never reward you for an ambition. Let go. Take the purposes of God for your life and let it be your primary pursuit. We can know what you live for when we hear your conversations. When we hear your primary pursuit. When we hear everything that drives you. Hallelujah. When you have equal amount of money, we know where resources is going to. Many people don't really pursue their purpose. All they are after is their ambitions. I pray you'll be wise in the name of Jesus Christ. The way to align to God's plan is seek to know His will and follow it with nitty gritty. In Psalms chapter 40 verse 7 and then Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7, the Bible says, I come in the volumes of the book, written concerning with what? To do your will. Something is written about you before you are better. Just look at your life. Look at the way God has been orchestrating your life. God, I remember my mom telling me a story of when she was in campus. One day I was a child and then I walked towards a socket on the wall that was plugged. I removed it and I kept it. It didn't shock me, nothing happened. And then she said that was when she knew that God had a plan for my life. Look at the stories people told you about. Look at the way God picked you from a cycle and then made your life different. Look at the kind of environment you grew, but you don't look like your environment. Is God not telling you that I've consecrated you for a purpose? Look at the way your life has gone. Look at how God has favored you. It should be telling you that. It should be telling you that God has a unique plan and a unique purpose for you. Praise the Lord. Seek to know His plan and follow it. Seek to be aware of His plan and stay glued to it. Don't be a fool on your dying bed. Hallelujah. No. Desire to know His plan for your life. Seek to know it and follow it to the detail. It's amazing that God will not reward you for what you did, but God will reward you for what He asked you to do. God will not reward you for things you saw that He didn't send you to solve, but He will reward you for things that you followed according to the volumes of the book written concerning you. Your dream may just be to raise one child. Your dream may just be to support someone to achieve his dream. Your assignment may just be to stand on the shoulder like Aaron and Hur. Hallelujah. Your assignment, know your plan and follow it. And then number three, be a functional and effective part of the kingdom of God. Be a functional and an effective part of the kingdom of God. Don't allow yourself to be of the kingdom. Everything you do should revolve around the kingdom. When I teach on purposes and we share on purposes, you always remember that every purpose is shrouded in the kingdom. God will never give you a purpose that the ultimate aim of the purpose is to be for the devil. Are we together? If God made you an inventor, that invention is made to promote the kingdom. If God made you to develop something, that invention is made to better humanity and to better the kingdom. I believe God made the people to that invented microphone so that we'll be able to preach the gospel better. Hallelujah. So be a functional and effective part. Everything you do, there are things that people cannot do, and God has fixed you there. Be effective. If God has made you to be in the IT world, be effective there. Hallelujah. If God has made you anywhere that God has put you, be functional and effective. And then remain connected to God. Because always your plan will be revealed to you. Always God's purposes for your life will be revealed to you. And then as you do and pursue the plan of God for your life, you will see His blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can we say, Father, help me not to pursue vain things. Help me, Lord, to keep my gaze on you. Help me, Jesus. Can you open your mouth and pray that prayer? Say, Father, Lord, help me. Help me to put my gaze on you. Jesus, help me. May I hear this word and pay attention to your calls in my life. Anywhere I'm missing it, Father Lord, help me. Help me. Jesus. Shatakaba. Help. I receive help from you. I receive help from you. Father Lord, help me. Can you now pray and say, Father Lord, your plans for my life will come to pass. I refuse to give up. Your plans for my life will come to pass. Your purposes will come to pass. Your plans for my life will come to pass. Jesus, your plans for my life will come to pass. Your purposes for my life will come to pass. I've been on again and again. On you. On you, Jerry's profit in being wasted, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Father, Lord, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. I want to let you know something. I want to really encourage you. I remember one time when I had a lot of choices to make. And then I was tempted
to let go of the plans of God for my life.
It was so juicy. But I told God that, Lord, I will not be the best. I will not be the first person to make a discovery. I will not be the first person to make money. I will not be the best first person to do something. I will not be the first person to do anything. Hallelujah. I want to live for you. I want to serve God. We will only have limited days to live on earth. And the earlier we surrender to God, the earlier we surrender to His voice for our life, and pursue it, the better for our lives. Hallelujah. You will stand before God face to face and then give an account of this word that you have heard and that I have heard. And then you will know if what is in your heart, if what is prompting you is really the plans of God for your life. If what you are pursuing for is what God has written you for me. I believe this is what God has meant my life to be. To preach the word of God, to help people achieve their destiny. To be able to preach the word, and I will stand with it for the rest of my life. Your plans and the plans that God has revealed to you, pursue it. And I believe God will prove Himself faithful in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. Receive all the glory. We pray for this church. We pray for ourselves that the plans you have for us will come to pass. We refuse to be distracted. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Please come pray for our members wherever they are, that the blessings of God and the wisdom of God will be upon them. Father, Lord, we pray for our members, Shekinah Encounter Center. Let the blessings of God be with them. Lerono moski la da bruno mondo zilana mambro do bolo gando shadaya. Shida baraga la ganda braga da la ganda braga la ganda raga da braga da la ga da braga da la ga di. Shalana malanda ganda brana malanda ganda braga da raga da braga da la ga da. Kedele de braga do zilana malanda ganda brana malanda ganda braga di. Jada kata baraka do zelene mende raga da braga da lende kede roga do baradiya. Shada barada balada gada baragala gada. Kete melende rekete barado shalada bayagala gada. Let the blessings of God be with them. Let the strength of God be with them. Let the Lord cause them to prosper. Let the Lord cause them to advance. Let the Lord cause them to prosper. Let the Lord cause them to advance. Thank you for the people He has given us that are established. Come say, Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We ask that, Lord, you receive our offerings. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because doors of finances are open to us. Thank you, Lord. Can we briefly pray for our finances and say, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we receive from you. We receive from you. I declare miracle supplies. I declare miracle supplies. I declare that we are remembered financially. I declare that angels of finances cause people to give to us, cause doors of opportunity to open. I declare that before the week's end, we will have a financial testimony. Thank you, Lord, for honoring this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
The compass you need has just been delivered into your hands. You can get all the anointed messages on our Telegram channel at Shekinah Encounter Center Sermons. For more inquiries, you can also call 080-6522-6276 or 080-2611-2114. Remain rapturable.